Hello and welcome to our podcast. Now, we have a very exciting podcast today because I'm happy to say I'm joined by Bishop Martin Ntumbuka from the Diocese of Koronga in Malawi. Now, you see, we don't know so much about Malawi. We might think we do, but all we see is Madonna adopting children in the press and so forth. But what I'd like to do is get down to the real picture of what it's like in a Catholic diocese in Malawi. So, Bishop Martin, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with that. Tell us a little bit about your diocese, because apparently it's only 3 years old, a very young diocese, so you must have all kinds of challenges you're facing. And tell us also a bit about Malawi, the diocese particularly, in terms of how remote it is and how many people you have and so forth.
Yeah, Malawi is a country of about 15 million. Of those, Catholics form about 25%. Until 3 years ago, it had seven dioceses. And the largest in terms of territory was Mzuzu Diocese, which used to cover about a third of the country. And it is that diocese which was created 50 years ago, was divided on July 21 in 2010 to create the Diocese of Koronga. So the diocese bishop, on the same day I was also appointed bishop of the that new diocese. So since then, it means there we have eight dioceses. And then they also, I suppose because of that development, they created another archdiocese so that the Diocese of Koronga is a suffragan diocese of a new ecclesiastical province of Lilongwe. So we have two archdioceses, the Archdiocese of Blantyre in the south, the Archdiocese of Lilongwe in the center, with the suffragan diocese in the central part of Malawi, and also the two in the northern part of Malawi.
And just for those of us that don't know, where exactly is Malawi geographically on the continent?
Malawi is in the southern part of Africa. It borders with Tanzania to the north, Zambia to the west, and Mozambique to the east. Yeah, so that would be what I would say. It used to be called Nyasaland, in a way, former colony of this country. Yeah.
You're obviously over here to raise awareness, to talk to us, here to see CAFOD, the Church's aid and development arm, and also Missio, overseas mission. Now, I'm guessing with a three-year-old diocese, you have plenty of problems, not just challenges, let's say, is a better word. Tell us about a few of those.
Yeah, I think the challenges of starting a new diocese in Malawi, particularly that part of the country, which Malawi, in terms of development, not development by the UK standards, development by our standards, are mainly concentrated in the south, but because that is where the colonial government had its seat, and therefore many activities started from there, then they moved to the center. So the north is also sparsely populated. So the very northern part of Malawi is the remotest part of the country, and even movement of goods and people are extremely difficult. So that is the area where the Diocese of Koronga is. And setting up a diocese in a situation like that one certainly poses a lot of problems. I think the first ones, strangely to put it, are the socio-economic needs. This sounds rather strange for me as a bishop to say, but the issue is you come across people who have so many basic needs that they can't begin to talk about their faith before they have just talked about how to survive. 4 or 5 days a week, the women have to move with 50 kg or 25 kg of beans on their head, about 20 kilometers there, 15 kilometers there, because of these makeshift markets, you know. So they put a market here, then next day it's about 30 kilometers away, the other day it's 35 kilometers, and the women have to move from this market to the other on foot. I mean, 5 days a week just to survive, because if they don't sell those beans or they don't sell those heads of cabbage or maize, then they have no salt, then they can't buy soap and things like that on a weekly basis. So you have a situation whereby you really need to tackle, first of all, these socio-economic needs, really very high levels of poverty, but also very difficult means of moving around, very poor participation in education. So you have high numbers of boys and girls who dropped out of school very early in their lives and just go into marriage, but then they can't look after their families properly. So the first challenge in the diocese resources of Karonga is to make a meaningful contribution to the socio-economic development of those people. Because unless that is done, I think we can't. The gospel as we know it becomes a secondary thing because people just want to survive. But otherwise, on the side of their Christian life, they are also very committed, to be honest with you. I've been to those places where women and men and women, old women and old men, have walked for 1.5 days to go and attend the Mass over which I'm presiding. So if I say I have Mass at St. Michael's Parish in one of the outstations there, then some people would travel like the whole day of today and up to about 9 p.m. and sleep somewhere at their friend's place and start off around 3 or 4 a.m. tomorrow morning to be at my place where I'm at 10 o'clock for Mass. And then that Mass would be long. In Africa, the Masses are quite long. And then they would start back around 2 o'clock, sleep somewhere. And then, so it is a practically 1 week job to attend Mass. So it does tell you that there's a lot of also determination on the side of the people. But in the main, I think the socio-economic challenges that we face there are quite immense. And I have really tried as much as possible with the priests that we have. Very few. We have only 10 priests in the diocese. So I'm trying to invest a lot in the local leaders. I not because I'm short of priests, but they have a right to participate. But in our case, we have no choice. You have to invest in catechists, in local leaders, the patrons of the youth, the women leaders, and that's the only way we can run the church there. So I would say the challenges are really many, but please God, I mean, thank God that at least the desire is there. And I have come here today to share how I would like that we tackle, on one hand, the typical pastoral challenges that we face, but on the other hand, the socio-economic challenges and the cultural challenges. Some of them are not imposed on people, but they impose them on themselves. So I'm talking of things like polygamy, arranged marriages, and these are challenges that are not imposed on people, but more or less we're carrying them on. But ultimately, it's because of the issues of education and formation and just opening up to a new way of thinking that would probably eliminate or reduce some of the problems that our people face.
I think sometimes we think that it should be the place of the church to help facilitate education, at least, and formation, of course. Yeah. But it's not always an easy thing, is it? Especially when you've got, as you say, all those other literally life or death challenges to face. How does the church go about formation?
I would say that you are right, I think. I have told my priest in the diocese what probably many bishops would find rather strange, for example, in regard to education. I've told them that if they have a community to look after and they are trying, or they are asked, or there's need to build a school, and at the same time there's need to build a church, and that they can't build both, they should first build a school. The reason is that unless we open up people in that area, the area of education, really anything else would not follow. I think, James, the issue is that Christianity today, even in Africa, needs people who are convinced personally, but also who can think even to just a minimum level, analytically and critically. And it's only education that can give that. Without that, then Catholicism, with its rich tradition, but sometimes quite demanding, they will be completely defenseless to defend some of the teachings and the values that we have as a Catholic Church, because there are so many people who are quite critical about some of the values that we cherish and we promote. So unless these people can think through these things and think analytically and critically and make a personal conviction, we may baptize thousands and thousands of people, but if these people have no means of thinking through this, they'll be wiped out the following day by somebody who just reduces everything to one commandment, turn up one day and pray, or something like that, in a simplistic way. So not very easy. But on the other hand, you have also to give the gospel as it is, because we are not, as you say, we're not a government, so we can't just focus on that. But we are using these social means as a means towards an end, really. Just like Jesus, he healed people, he fed people, but the idea was that once he had done this, they would see the hand of God touching their lives, and therefore they would believe in him. So we are using these as a means towards a greater end, but without it, I think we wouldn't go very far. But quite a difficult job, James, as you have put it.
Absolutely. We're talking about being sort of strong in faith and having enough knowledge to proclaim.
Yeah.
Certainly not in all African countries, but in some African countries, we do have sort of Islam and Christianity, either a Christian north or a Christian south, and a Muslim north or south. Is it like that in Malawi, and how do the faiths get on?
Yes, I think some parts of Malawi, particularly I would say the southern part of Malawi, has a higher concentration of Muslims. There are sometimes some tensions there, to be honest, but the central part and the northern part, there are Muslims, but there are not many, and I wouldn't cite any example where we had differences or misunderstandings that were serious. I would say that so far we have not had problems in this area. It doesn't mean we should be naive about it, but we have a lot of other, as a conference, we have a number of ecumenical bodies, one of them to promote justice and peace, another one is to deal with HIV and AIDS. So we have created a number of common platforms, and I think this way of working together does help us to understand each other a little bit better. And I would say, thank God, we do not have a big problem from that front.
Talking about other issues, I did notice when you sent a sort of introduction to Malawi and your personal and the situation of the people, you talked about women's rights of girls and women being a key issue that you wanted to raise some awareness on. And you also wrote about a practice called Kupimbira,
Kupimbira.
Tell us a little bit about these challenges.
I would say that this practice is only found in the northern part of Malawi and practically only in the diocese of Karonga. That's why at the beginning I mentioned that some of the problems our people face actually are self-imposed. The people of the large part of the diocese of Karonga have had this odd tradition that a poor family, in exchange of food, or if they can't pay back any loan or that they took, they can exchange it with their daughter, you know. So the daughter, even if she's as old as young as 7 years or 8 years, you can promise her in marriage to someone else who has some food and give you the food. And then, although this girl is so young, the man actually, strictly speaking, has a right to her as a wife. This is a despicable custom, and only found in that northern part of Malawi, where Malawi borders with Tanzania, because Karonga Diocese to the north borders with Mbeya Diocese, which is the at the south northern tip of Lake Malawi. There, the Tanzanians would call it Lake Nyasa. So quite a shameful and a sad custom. We have worked so hard to eliminate this, and the government has worked on it, but probably, as I've said, Malawi, the northern part of Malawi, is very remote. The northwestern part, apart from, is not just remote, but also there are some parts there where the existence of the state itself is not felt. So you have these customs perpetuated, and CAFOD has funded us to help address this issue, but also in the church. I've spoken about it on many occasions, and if you saw in my write-up, I'm talking about the need for a radio project, because I think that in the diocese of Karonga, there is no Christian radio that reaches that place except Radio Islam. But the whole of that northern tip, there's no other message. And then the terrain is so difficult, you know. A distance of 10 kilometers will take you hours, because you would have to go down, and climb up almost 90 degrees to go up there, you know. So it's a very difficult area. There are some parts of one of the parishes there, not even with a motorbike can you reach. You just have to walk from the house, from the priest's house, put a musket on your back and walk. And that's it, really. Yeah, and walk for 4 hours to celebrate Mass and walk back. back. So you can't do much. And because of that, I think there's this custom, and we are trying to, I think that would be the way of addressing. But it is indeed, this is one of the scourges on our society. We have to address it, because it has no place in society today, let alone in a church.
Now, that's obviously a very, very serious issue. Yeah. I did want to turn to something that is, well, remarkable, really, and probably quite hard for us to fathom over here. Also in those dispatches, you wrote about there being a part of your diocese where no priest, let alone a bishop, has ever been since Adam and Eve, which I think was very amusing and also quite staggering. And you say that the area is in the Middle High Mountains in the northern end, and there's no road, no school, no hospital, no sort of formal state structure. And apparently, the staple diet of the people is said to be beer.
I thought when I reached one place there, the reason why I went very close to that place is that there is an old rural community. I went to pray with them. I presided over the mass, and then after mass, as usual in African context, you have a common meal there. So the catechists, all the local leaders, and everybody, and all the chiefs, and they come, and all the chiefs, the different one chiefs, were asking about a school, a hospital. And then one of them said, no, I'm not asking for any of this. I'm asking for a Catholic church in my area. I'm a polygamist myself. I know you can't baptize me, but I need a church. So after a month and a half, I thought that was quite a noble request. I went there. I had to leave my car somewhere and walk down to his village. And then I asked whether the priest had been there. He said, yes, I'd been there, but in 1947, one of the White Fathers. I thought that was the end of it. But then he said, no, but behind those hills, showing me the other side of the river, he says, there's a community there that there's no school, no road, no hospital, no police, nothing. But there are people there. And he said, I have not been there neither myself. And the only thing I know is that men food is beer there. And that the boys, when they reach 14 or 15 years, they come down to where he lives, which is, I thought, was quite remote enough, just to learn to write a letter. And then once, if they can write a letter, they go back there. But the girls don't come out. They prepare the beer and bear children. And so, yeah, it's part of the diocese. This has pained me a lot, because the motto of the Diocese of Karonga that I tried to coin with my friend is, we shall go to them. Because I knew that in that diocese, because of the setup, but also even just in mentality, I've tried to impress it on my fellow priests that in the Diocese of Karonga, I do not want that Christians should be hunting down these priests wherever they are to ask for help or guidance. They shouldn't. It is the priests who should go to the people. So with that, and ending up being told that there's a part of the diocese where nobody has been. We are trying to organize ourselves to go there, but it would need the first part to go by car. The other part will have to walk to get there. I've tried to say that I should join the people, but no, I think my officers will go there, those in the Caritas department, but also the pastor, secretary, and the others. Yeah, but it is true. This just goes to emphasize the remoteness of the large part of the Diocese of Karonga.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible to think that, really.
Yeah.
How about HIV/AIDS? It was often talked about a lot, and it was one of the first questions. Well, you know, how's it being dealt with, so on and so forth. Is there a problem in the Malawi?
It is. I mean, this is a big issue out there, to be honest with you. And when you talk about a rural community, high levels of poverty that I'm talking about here. Mm. You are talking of great vulnerability, particularly of girls and women in general, because polygamy is very, very high. So the men who can put together a few resources are considered to be breadwinners for many of the women, and therefore they can exchange these women around So also for the men not to be seen to be unfair to them, they because of these problems, as is always the case, it drives them into alcoholism because they feel frustrated that they can't deal with the problems in front of them. The scale of HIV/AIDS is quite bad. The situation is quite bad. It is an issue that we have to address. But that's why I was saying at the beginning that we have to go there with a complete package. We have to go there with the gospel as we know it. We have to go there with education. We have to go there with the advocacy for the better way of living in society and being responsible. We have to go there with food security projects. We have to go there with small kind of micro financing projects. Unless we go there with this kind of package, we will not make any headway because there's so much that is limiting the people from carrying out their day-to-day life, let alone their Christian faith.
I think we've learned a lot in these short minutes about how a very sort of sparsely populated or really remote diocese is very hard to look after from your perspective, let alone anybody else's. Communication, I guess, would help. Education would help. There's still huge challenges for you, but I can see you've got it nicely mapped out.
Yeah.
How can we over here help?
I would say that I think that I have learned in the few years, 3 years of my being bishop. I think the first step is exactly what we're doing here, James. The very fact that we can talk, the very fact that people here, we are part of the same family, we can listen to one another and share these experiences. I have found out in the last 3 years that this is what matters most. Then afterwards, if there's technical expertise or financial support, or I think this does, it builds on, it has to build on something. It has to build on a relationship. It has to build on a partnership. So I think kind of sharing these experiences and communicating with one another is really the base, really, because you feel supported. You feel also as belonging to a wider family where you may not always get help, but at least you get the sympathy and understanding that you are facing a big challenge. So I would say that, to me, that is the most important thing as a first step. Then I think other things are the expertise, technical expertise, and if there are some of the projects that we have, of course, would need some financial support for them. Others would be probably the technical expertise here. I'm talking about maybe people coming to spend some time there, or current in the world of today with all this technology, maybe just answering some of our problems. That kind of thing. So that is how I would put it, James.
And finally, Bishop Martin, if we were to concentrate our prayers on anything for Malawi, what sort of things should we be praying for?
I think for Malawi, I think we would really be need to be praying for a sustainable reconciliation between culture and economics on one hand and the gospel on the other hand. In other words, that the people of Malawi be helped to move towards where they can meet some of their basic needs as they also try to grow in their faith. Because I think this is the most important thing that they need. They need to grow in their faith, but also they need to find ways as a society to deal with some of their most basic needs. This is what I would say.
Well, it's been a fascinating first insight into Malawi, and in particular your Diocese of Karonga. Do come back again if you're ever in the country. We'd like to catch up and see how you're getting on.
Three years
isn't long in Catholic Church
terms.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks a lot.
That's Bishop Martin Mtambuka from the Diocese of Karonga in Malawi. Now, if you want to check out all our latest multimedia, of course, it's on the website, catholicnews.org.uk. And if you follow us on Twitter, if you're part of the big Twitter revolution, then we're @CatholicEW. We'll be back with another podcast very soon.